Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre. Earth Day 2009 dawns on tall green talk and little action, but there is much to be done. And the torture memos are out, but the question of prosecution is a hand that President Obama is still playing close to the chest. Portland area weather, mostly cloudy to the north, slight chance of showers, highs today from the mid-60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy and cooler, possible showers, and about the same for tomorrow. And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Today, of course, Earth Day, and as the singer says, the revolution starts now in your own backyard. Scott Howard of Earth and Hand wishes Portland a happy, hardworking Earth Day. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Chris.
So, what have you got to tell Portland? Where are we now and where are we heading?
Well, first of all, I think everyone knows we're in a situation right now where we need to start producing things to help the earth. We need to start making soil and conserving a lot of the energy that we're wasting. Everyone knows this, and we all know what we need to do. Simple things, you know, walk, bike, build cob houses, things like that.
It all starts now in your own backyard, right. Thank you so much. That, of course, is Scott Howard of Earth in Hand. If you want to build a cob house, give Scott a call.
Thank you
so much for that. And now, a group of farmers, foresters, and other LNG opponents will stage a mock pipeline construction and action and rally in downtown Beaverton today. The group will call on State Representative Tobias Reed and other Oregon legislature members to oppose House Bill 3058. The bill was actually requested by Bradwood LNG. It would allow LNG companies to seek permits on private property. Joining us to talk about this is Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper. Thanks so much for being back with us again today, Olivia.
Thank you, Chris. Always happy to be here.
So this is an action taking place in Beaverton, am I right?
That's correct. Beaverton is sort of the home state of Tobias Reed's district, and so we are bringing the message to his district to highlight his inappropriate actions in the last week or so around two bills that relate to LNG and related pipeline development.
These bills suddenly popped up. 2015 was introduced, and all of a sudden, bango, and the pro-LNG people.
Yeah, 30. So House Bill 3058 is a bill that would essentially allow energy speculators to get permits on private property before going through the process of eminent domain or negotiation to get control of that piece of land. And those permits would be for wetland removal fill permits. So what you essentially have here is at one time the committee chaired by Tobias Reed is killing a bill, 2015, that would require a proven need in Oregon for liquefied natural gas before those terminals and related pipelines are built. So they've killed that bill, and at the same time what Tobias Reed is doing in his committee, and Brad Witt as well as part of that committee, is pushing a bill that would make it easier for those same pipeline and energy companies to come onto your property without your to get permits for taking action on your property. It's a serious blow to property rights in the state, and because it's being paired with a bill that they're killing that would require a proven need for those projects, it really, you know, it's really got farmers and agriculturalists and landowners who are impacted by these projects, you know, really fired up because they're seeing their property rights, which are already being threatened by these projects, just deteriorate in front of their eyes.
And aside from that, the words wetland removal, we should be very, very careful how we tamper with what's left of our wetland areas as well. So people should can you give listeners the where and the what time and
Absolutely.
All that?
Absolutely. Yeah, today at 4:30, a big group of people are going to be in Beaverton at the City Park, which is at Southwest Hall and Fifth Avenue. in Beaverton. It's right across from the MAX station there. And we will be handing out information to folks in the area about what's been going on in the past 2 weeks with their representative for that district. And we will also have there a little demonstration to basically give an idea about what this really would do to people. I mean, this is like, you know, we're bringing a hot piece of pipe. We have a backhoe there. And the idea really is this could become your doorstep because of the actions being taken by representatives like Representative Witt and like Representative Reed, who are pushing these bills that favor energy speculators over Oregon residents.
It's a scary thought, actually, but what a better way to spend Earth Day than getting out in the streets and letting elected representatives know how you feel about the destruction of wetlands, the proposed LNG terminals and pipeline, and so many other issues that are out there crying out for us to address them. Thank you so much. My guest has been Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper. Thank you so much for that, Olivia.
Thank you, Chris.
Oregon House Democrats are pushing legislation that would require a state board to keep Oregon on top of the green jobs sector. The plan would create training opportunities for Oregon workers who want to switch to green jobs. It would also spot the newest innovations and watch out for industries that the state should promote. Here's one that would put the state back on its feet and save the last of our forests: grow industrial hemp.
There's an idea. The governors of Oregon and California today asked the federal government to declare another West Coast salmon fishery failure, the third request in 4 years. Commercial salmon fishing for Chinook, also known as king salmon, has been closed off in California and most of Oregon this year because of dangerously low returns to the Sacramento River in California. Harper's Magazine has an article on salmon in Alaska this month. In part, it says that the forests of the Pacific Northwest were essentially created by salmon. Up to a third of the nitrogen on the valley floors of Cascadia was once salmon. Have a look at the article. It's worth a read.
Federal biologists say that three pesticides used on agribusiness crops jeopardize the survival of many Pacific salmon and steelhead. The National Marine Fisheries Service recommends labeling restrictions, buffer zones for spraying, and a ban on pesticides use in windy and stormy conditions that wash them into rivers. The pesticides, carbaryl, carbifurin, and methomyl, can kill fish outright in certain concentrations and impair the ability of fish to smell, swim, and avoid predators and grow.
There's less garbage out there, probably because of slowdowns in consumer spending, consumption, and manufacturing. As people worldwide celebrate Earth Day, the curious green side of the economic downturn shows itself in strange ways. The state's Department of Environmental Quality reports that in the final quarter of 2008, Oregon landfills saw 16% less trash than the same time in the previous year.
But there's a big downside. Cash-strapped factories delay the installation of new environmental-friendly equipment. Consumers who might have purchased fuel-efficient vehicles hold off, driving cars that pollute.
The rally, just a note here for listeners who missed the time. The rally against LNG is beginning at 4:30. I believe it crests at 5, and it's at the main park in downtown Beaverton. And you can go to Columbia Riverkeeper's website. They've got all the information for you right there. The federal government is moving to drastically reduce air pollution from cement plants, and the biggest offender is here in Oregon. Yesterday, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency released proposed rules for airborne mercury and other pollutants from cement kilns, which are few but release large amounts of toxins into the air.
The lead lawyer for government contractors in the long-running Hanford Downwinders lawsuit says his companies are ready to offer cash settlements to a few of the hundreds of people who believe their illnesses were caused by radiation. Roughly 2,000 people say they've suffered from radiation. They've been trying to win compensation for thyroid cancer and other conditions they say were caused by the exposure.
And an upwind story. A trade group says Mid-American Energy Company and subsidiary PacifiCorp rank first among U.S. electric utilities for ownership of wind farms. American Wind Energy Association says that Mid-American and its Western subsidiary own wind farms with a total of nearly 2,000 megawatts of capacity.
About 6,000 Oregonians will become eligible for unemployment benefits beginning this summer under a bill signed yesterday by Governor Kulongoski. Senate Bill 462 changes the formula used to calculate a person's work history for the purpose of qualifying for benefits.
Amazing, isn't it, that these huge companies and even mid-sized ones feel absolutely free to lay off people left and right. At the same time, they've been getting tax breaks for a very long time. Now, a measure making its way through the Oregon legislature would allow more than 50 state tax breaks, collectively worth $1.4 billion, to expire. The vote split, of course, along party lines, 36 Democrats for, 24 Republicans against. The bill now goes to the Senate.
Farmers in California's drought-stricken agricultural basin will finally get an increase in federal water for their crops this summer. Federal officials say heavy storms last month allowed them to boost the amount of water sent to customers south of the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, where most of the nation's fruit and vegetables are grown.
Well, the memos are out. The spying is dead. Long live the spying. California Senator Dianne Feinstein says that she doesn't want to rule out prosecution until her investigation of these memos is complete. Again, it boils down to what did they do and when did they do it? Did they do what they did before it was actually technically legal, or were John Woo's efforts already being felt? And also, what can we do about prosecuting the people who were engaged, who signed off on torture? Joining us to parse this tricky question is KBOO's reporter, Spencer Raymond. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, it is an interesting question. What, if anything, can be done to possibly prosecute people who could, may, or may not have been, as you mentioned, engaging in illegal or legal torture methods based on the time of when they actually did those things. And Obama has left this up to the Justice Department. Believe it or not, this may sound a little bit surprising if you're used to the old Bush ways of things. He's saying that the White House isn't above the law, that the whatever the executive branch may have done in the past, it's up to the Justice Department to make a decision on what was or what wasn't, or now what is or what isn't legal. It's not in Obama's court. It's not him as the chief executive to make the call. He's leaving that up to the Justice Department and Eric Holder to make these decisions. So, I mean, I think, Chris, we could agree that if this was a couple years ago in the Bush administration, we would see Bush or Cheney coming out and saying this is or this isn't legal, let's do some prosecution. But I think Obama's doing the right thing here when he's letting Mr. Holder and the Justice Department deal with this.
So there's apparently an independent investigation going on, and it will ultimately determine whether when the torture, when these activities were actually taking place, if at that time it was illegal. It was certainly legal later on, but not, it's sort of a gray area at the beginning. Have you any notion of where we stand with those investigations right now, Spencer?
Yeah, well, Chris, there's the investigation on the Justice Department side, as I just mentioned, but there's also talk about getting some sort of bipartisan House or Senate or congressional investigation going. And that's when things could get tricky, because this is a national security issue. I mean, we are talking about torture and fighting terrorism here. So the type of information that could be made public may be real murky on how much does an investigation really want to divulge into this. And it could become very highly partisan arguing between, between old Republican Bush policies and now. So Obama has made an emphasis on if there's going to be a congressional investigation, he wants it to be a bipartisan one.
And we'll be following that one. Thank you so much. That, of course, was KBOO's Spencer Raymond joining us, as he does every weekday morning with DC Dirt. Thank you so much, Spencer.
President Obama's return to Iowa gives him a chance to mark Earth Day with a pitch for his alternative energy plan and environmentally friendly jobs. Obama's energy legislation has slowed in Congress. Skeptical Republicans and some Democrats from coal-producing states fear the plan will increase costs for consumers, send jobs overseas, and hurt business.
And finally, this is a truly strange and convoluted story. The U.S. government may abandon espionage charges against two former lobbyists for the pro-Israel advocacy group AIPAC. Democratic Representative Jane Harman of California accused the government of an abuse of power in wiretapping her conversations following news reports that she'd been recorded in 2006 on FBI wiretaps that officials at the time said raised questions of possible illegal conduct. There's a great deal more to this story. We're going to talk more about it in the future, and that's all that we have time for today.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, April 22, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Nora Barrows Friedman from Palestine and Matthew Rothschild on 100 Years of the Progressive magazine.
Thanks so much for listening and have a good day. Have an Earth Day.